In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before your holy presence, Lord, we dwell. Gathered here around your presence, O Lord, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day, this time, that you have ordained unto each one of us, Lord. Thank you for calling us by name, O God, to this place. And thank you also for all those who wanted to come here but could not make it for some reason or the other, and all those who are on leave at the moment, Lord. Sweet loving Jesus, once again, it's your precious blood that protects us and surrounds us, Lord God, as we sprinkle it around this place. Praying, Lord God, that every source of distraction should be moved out from this place, Lord, and protect us, Lord, with your guardian angels. Sweet Holy Spirit, this is your word, and as the hearsay go, the most difficult word in the Bible, O God, who else can teach us but you, my God? We are just your open instruments, Lord God, waiting to hear from you, Lord. You know our levels of understanding, Lord. You know where we stand before you, Lord. And you know the desire of our hearts to know you better and better, Lord. Fulfill this desire, Lord God, by explaining to us, Lord, things that the world cannot even understand. But you, Lord, when you speak to us, Lord, in your own beautiful ways, nothing is impossible to understand, Lord. And we pray not only that we listen to you, Lord, not only that we hear your word, Lord, but Lord, you will give us the grace to implement it in our lives, Lord, because that is where all the blessings and ultimation comes, Lord God, on doing the word, your word, Lord. Mother Mary, thank you for always being with us. Be with us once again this afternoon. Pray for us, guide us, bless us, and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. It's an auspicious day for our parish because we have 108 students, children, who received Jesus for the first time. 108. 49 boys and 59 girls. It brought me reminiscence of my first Holy Communion, although I don't remember too much about it, but yet it was good, not so beautiful. Little brides and little bridegrooms, angels.
I also remember my first Holy Communion. I don't remember much, but that party was the one little thing where they gave us that cake, no, and that orange rasna or something was given. Cake on the kailan sukar padli, my worry was my half cake fell down. But for me, my darling sister had trained me.
Praise God. And the whole service went very beautiful. Praise God for all the people who are working and behind the scenes and in front. Everything was beautiful, including Father's sermon.
Father says he's not well, but
at that time,
every minute he looks fresh.
Yes.
And that is maybe God's grace is on him.
Especially when he preaches his homily,
yeah,
is God come down.
And he doesn't show on his face. Every time I think he doesn't feel good, at least he drinks water and all. But
yeah, we keep him in the sacristy,
yes,
warm water. No?
Well, we are back to the great, great revelation. For all those who missed last week, we'll just have a small recap. The book of Revelation, as the devil wants us to know, is a very difficult book. But as Jesus reveals to us, we'll understand why the devil is after us not to read this book or to make it difficult for us. This is the only book in the New Testament that has a what?
Promise.
Blessing. It has a blessing for all those who
preach the book,
hear the book, and do the word. You know, as I said, like I'm just having a recap for some of you who didn't come last time. The Revelation was one of the books which had a late entry. I mean it was the latest book to enter into the Bible. It entered around 396. As you saw in the clipping last week, the church was persecuted. Christians were persecuted, especially because of the Roman emperors who were one after the other. And by that time, That was Domitian's time when the revolutions took place. The Roman emperors were designated to be gods. In that clipping, Herodotus of Sawyer, he said, "I am God." He says, "No, I am God." So people are supposed to be proclaiming that Domitian, or the emperor at that moment, at that time, is God. Once a month or once a year, they're supposed to do that. Now, once people came to know who Jesus was, once they tasted the goodness of Jesus, tell me, who can ever say somebody else is the Lord? And so the Christians, and these Christians are not born Christians like we are so lucky to be born in a family of Christians. But these Christians are those who are pagans. They were following other religions. Then God in His mercy introduced them to Jesus. They became Christians. And these people, they know their life before and they know their life now. And how can they ever proclaim somebody else as their Lord and King? And this is what happens at that time. But people were persecuted because they were not Christians, never accepted. I mean, a thorough Christian never proclaimed Jesus as their Lord. The emperor as their Lord, because Jesus is their Lord. Finish, class. And they had to be martyred. They gave up their lives to claim that. Who can give a life for anybody? Unless you're convinced, right? Unless you're convinced. In this modern world, the Bible says, Jesus gave His life for everyone. It says in that word also is, some good people may die for somebody else, but Jesus died unconditionally for everyone. It says in the Bible, right? So similarly, these people, the pagans, as I told you when we were learning the book of 1 Peter, Nero was emperor at that time, and he used to tie these Christians to their pillars and light them bonfire for his pleasure, and they used to have barbecues and all that stuff at that time with these Christians being burnt as fire for them. You see how they volunteered. They did not. They were given two choices: either you don't accept Jesus or you die. They all accepted Jesus because they knew dying for Jesus is worth more than living for these people. And in the course of my study, I realized, and I was very happy, that this guy, Nero, he died in something like 68 AD, and he committed suicide. You know, he committed suicide. It is what in my learnings I have learned. And how I was so joyful, because see, God ultimately, these people who create evil never go in peace. He was having pleasures with the people being burning. Ultimately, what happened? He committed suicide and he died. And so did all these people, Domitian. And after Domitian, there's one more guy. But he was at least another guy. But this guy was one of the most cruelest. And before him, there was one Caligula, something like that. You know, he was one of the stupid. But he was insane. He was also insane. But this guy was sane, but he was brutal, tormentable. And it was during that time that John the Apostle also was caught for preaching the word and put in a hot boiling oil cauldron. You know, was put in that as a thing. But God in His mercy, nothing happened to him. And then out of frustration, they put him in this island called Patmos. That is the place where they keep all their prisoners to do all their punishment. So John was kept there in the island of Patmos. This is where the revelation of Jesus was given unto him, and that island of Patmos, while he was in exile there. Now, revelation. Okay, these books, which are called Apocalypses, I will go to the Apocalypse a little bit later. But this, it's Apocalypses. It's a Greek word for revelation. The Catholic Church mostly uses Apocalypses, but here it says the revelation. Anyway, the Catholic Church uses Apocalypses more often than the revelation. As I said last time, Apocalypses. Apo is divided. The Greek word is divided. Apo and Calypses. Apo is do away, get away. Calypses is veil, in veil. So get away the veil. Apocalypses. That means reveal, unveil. Unveil. Were you unveiled before?
Wedding mass.
Like, is that, no? When the father says, or when you exchange your rings, and the father says, now unveil her. You know, so the veil comes out. So it is unveiling, right? Apocalypse. Unveiling. Unveiling of what? We'll come to many things of unveiling here, which I've noted down. We'll come there. So Apocalypse is a book. And this is not only one apocalypse. There were many apocalypses between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or later, between certain ages, they could not hear God's word. So you know, the Jews, they were so, till today they are saying, we are the chosen race, right? We are the chosen race. Some of them don't believe in Jesus at all, and they were frustrated because now God is silent, right? Why is God silent? So they came up with their own notion, dividing the whole era into two. The present one, which is a very bad era, and it is governed by the evil one, and the next one, which is to come, which is God's glorious era. And so in between these two eras, they became so, obsessed with this whole thing, that many of them started getting dreams. Dreams of vision, dreams of disasters, and the end of the dream was always like, you know, God coming and saving them and taking them to the paradise and to all the things. These were the dreams, but they confessed that these dreams are not from God. But they are in their own imaginations, they were having these dreams, and many of these people put these dreams in writing. There are a lot of apocalypses books, apocalyptic books written during this period. And so what they did is, the people who actually wrote them are common people who used to, like, a little bit holy guy among the rest. Be like, he will get. I'm not saying that people don't say that those dreams are wrong. They must have got it because they are holy people and all. And they put it down. They put it down as an encouragement for people to know yes, Baba, you are living in a wrong this thing, because they say that this world is so doomed and nothing can be done about it. But the Lord, for those who are faithful, the Lord is going to come and rescue them and give them a paradise when this world is over. So that is the relationship between this world and that world. So those people who are not tuned, were happy, because, you know, at least they were this thing. Why I'm getting distracted, you know, is, brothers, as you know, this, brothers and sisters, this is a very difficult book. So if anybody feels a little bit sleepy, you know, please stand up, stand up and all, and listen. There's no harm, because I also feel sleepy sometimes. So please don't be afraid or be annoyed. If you feel like sleeping, just stand up and hear. That's all. For anybody. Yeah. Once the effects of the tea go might be, you'll feel sleepy. So what?
I thought you said
that
you'll go back and sleep.
Even that you'll also get apocalypses after that. Okay, so coming back to this. So what these guys used to do is, today they used to write these books, and they used to not publish it on their own names. They used to publish it on some person who was good and famous in the past. Like, you'll have apocalypses of Baruch, apocalypses of the seven prophets, like that. You know, they have this thing. Now, Baruch has not written any apocalypse, but these people, like, out of reverence, not because they wanted to cheat anybody, they said that we are so unworthy that we cannot write these books. So that's why, but because we have seen a vision, because we have heard dreams, because we have noted it down for people to understand, we will put it into somebody else's name. And that was an open secret. Now, in these books that were traveling all around, Revelation was one book that was found. But the only distinguished factor in these two books, in the books of Apocalypses, the other one, and Revelation, is that Revelation clearly says that this is the revelation of God to John. That is the only, and that is one. That is why the early scholars of the church went through this book, and they took a long time to go through this book. The one of the main guy was Erasmus or something like that, who studied these books, you know, on all the books. And they had to take a long, long time to study this book so well, because of the other books that were affecting it. And eventually, in the year 396, this book came into the Holy Bible as a joint venture. And from that day onwards, people have started doing and reading this book. Now, as I said, the hearsay, even for me, I never touched the book of Revelation, never ever, because I said, why to go? These books only are quite difficult sometimes, but what to go into the Revelation? So I used to always avoid it because of the hearsay that I heard that the book of Revelation is so and so difficult, understandable, not understandable, and so and so. And as I told you last time, I would have spent the same time. Because of one priest, I managed to read the book of Revelation, and I found it is not difficult, not too difficult at all. But it has its difficulties, it has its own ways of interpretation. And there is no 100% interpretation of this book. You can interpret it in the way you want it, good or bad. Okay, we'll come to know that in the future, as we go along. Now, anything else in that last time you discussed? The apocalypse, the Revelation, is a prophetic book, right? But it is also an epistle, as I explained last. Epistle, why? Because what is an epistle? An epistle is a letter written by a person to the churches or to people, right? You know, it is written, I, John, am writing to so and so people. In it is saying. So on that basis, the Revelation also is an epistle because John is writing to the
church.
Seven churches. Okay, John is writing to seven churches. So on that basis becomes an epistle, although it's a prophetic book. Now, prophetic books are books written by the prophets. Now the only difference between prophetic book and this prophetic book is that the prophets actually spoke the word of God. As they listened to it, as they heard the word of God, they spoke this thing. It was a revelation. It was a revelation given to John. So that's the only difference. And thirdly, this book is also called the Book of Psalms. Because in the Psalms, you find the people, the psalmist, sing praises to the Lord, give God glory to the Lord in various forms. But at the same time, towards the end of the Psalm, you'll also find accusations, you know, asking God to destroy the enemy, asking God to punish the people, you know. But in the Revelations, we have a heavenly corona of angels singing glories to the God, including the elders, which you will see. So that is a heavenly praise, heavenly worship. God is present there. There is no accusations in those praises. So everything is beautiful, honest. So the Revelation is one book, which is a prophetic book. It is an epistle, and it is a psalm. It is a book of psalms. Yeah. Now, quickly going to the authorship of this book. As we said, as we listened last time, is we all believe that it is John the Apostle who writes the book, but there are some scholars who have got question marks on that, because first of all, John has written how many? One Gospel and three.
Three John.
Yeah. So three epistles and one Gospel, and this is his fourth Revelation. Now, if you compare the first Gospel and the three letters, they are very similar in writing. The Greek is so similar. But this particular Greek which John has written is like a child Greek. You know, no grammar, no proper this thing. So that is why people are questioning, the scholars was questioning about the whether the authenticity, that it is the same John who wrote this and these books. Secondly, normally the apostles say, I, John, the apostle of Jesus, am writing this thing. They openly claim who they are. But in this, John says, I am only John. I, John. He doesn't say, I am Apostle John. He just says, I am John. These are just saying the things that people are confused about. And the thirdly, is when you come towards the end, when the city of Jerusalem comes down, with all its pillars and beautiful beautification of things, John says, oh, I've seen this coming down with 12 pillars and 12 gates, and just like the apostles. He doesn't say like just like we apostles. He said just like the apostles. So he speaks in as a way of reminiscing, right? But so that these are the three or one of some of the three points that some of scholars are not very sure of. But at the end of the day, we all believe that it is John the Apostle. So this is what we finished last week. Okay. Now we come to the actual book. Revelation 1:1. Now, you have to be very patient in this book, because every word here sometimes has got a lot of meaning. And so we may not be very fast. We'll have to be a bit slow to understand. There is no sort of interesting. That is no sort of thing that will it is a learning book, and this learning book will give you the clue to a proper life. You'll know what God is at and what it is. So it's not always interesting, huh? So you'll have to just bear up and this thing. And go back and study. As I said, like if those have got notes, put in notes. And another way of good way, the modern technology has got that if you have your mobiles, you can always record it and then hear it back, because there are so many references that you need to move about, okay, which I have mentioned here. Okay, now, the revelation to John, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Now, for example, before we even start this, the revelation as a word, as I said, it is called apocalypsis. Now, apocalypsis is a word that has been used in, it has got a history. It has got a history in the sense that it has been used before by the apostles, by different things, this thing. It is not something, a revelation has been given for example, Paul, to Peter. They were revealed certain things, and the references for those is, now, first of all, apocalypse is composed of two parts, which I've already told you that. It is used for the revealing of God's will to us for our actions. It is used for a revealing of God's will to us for our actions. Paul says that he went up to Jerusalem by apocalypse. Now, where does he because he wanted God, because God told him what he wanted to go, him to do. Galatians 2:2. Yeah, Galatians 2:2. Even Paul tells him that God called him by apocalypse, so that God wanted him to tell him what he wanted to do. Then it is used of the revelation of God's truth to men. God is revealing His truth to men through apocalypse. Okay, through revelations. Now Paul received his gospel not from men; he received his gospel directly from God, and he tells it from Jesus Christ actually, and he tells that in Galatians 1:12. That he received, the revelation was given to him by Jesus Christ himself in Galatians 1:12. Now, these are important because if you want to make a nice study of it, go and study it. Then you will understand, you know, the comparisons. Why it is so, why is it a historical word? Then in the Christian assembly, the message of the preacher, whenever the Christian assembly is preached, the preacher's message also is apocalypse, which is given in 1 Corinthians 14:6. Any gathering when we have the preacher who believes in God, who trusts in God, is given a revelation of what to talk to the people, even in Christian messages today. And that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:6. Now next, it is used for God's revealing to men of His own mysteries. Now God is, we all know that God is mysterious. He works in mysterious ways. He has His own ways of revealing things to us. Sometimes, you know, I don't know, like, you know, many of you who are tuned to the Lord, to the Word of God, you'll suddenly find something coming, a word coming to your mind. You know, so something, and we say, like, you know, something is inspiring me today, something is telling me something there. That is also a part of revelation. Revelation comes like that. Suddenly a word comes out of the blue, and then you say, what, Lord, what is this you're telling me? And then if you pray about it, if you continue to pray about it, that word makes sense. And then the Lord is trying to tell you, according to your circumstances, according to what you need to know, something. You know. And if you take heed to it, and if you persist in understanding what that word is, what it is supposed to be, you will get the answer. But sometimes you say, what must be my imagination? Then fine, if you take it as an imagination, it could be your imagination. We don't know. So you lost something. But even if it may be an imagination, if God... See, one thing you should understand, that God is always watching us. God is always watching how much you are in fire at all times. He doesn't not like, God likes everybody, but he doesn't prefer lukewarm people. That we have to be very, very careful. If in all our stages, in every part of life, we get into a stage when we are always, sometimes lukewarm. And even everybody, whoever, how may we distinguish, you get into that dry phrase. Even Mother Teresa used to say sometimes, she could, and immediately she should rush to confession. Father, I did not perform well, I was dry. Father said, what are you talking about? Why are you coming for confession? Daily, she used to come for confession. And that was like, no, today, I did not do enough today. I could have done more, I did not do. That was Mother Teresa's daily confession. And father was actually fed up of hearing it, but he had to hear. He cannot say anything. And she was insistent. So that means, you see, how much she was on fire. The little bit of dampness. Sometimes when I don't pray, sometimes I don't pray one day, next day it is so difficult for me to pray. So difficult. You cannot start, because that's the way the devil puts a barrier on you. One day he'll make you completely dry, and in that dryness, if you say, come what may, I am going to pray, I am going to do something, then God rewards you. Because God is watching all that is happening. God is watching. And then that is the immediate blessing he gives you. You may say, like, chalo, yeah, today I'm not feeling like doing. And God is saying, no, you don't feel like doing praying today. No, you don't get a time. No, you cannot spend at least from 1 hour, you cannot spend 5 minutes for me. See, you know, if you understand what God and the devil is trying to do, you will not hurt the God. Even for 5 minutes, Lord, I'm busy. No, I had a busy time. I'll give you 5 minutes. Lord, I praise you, thank you, this thing. That's enough for the Lord to make him happy. Yeah, not that he did this thing, but that, because in that 5 minutes, you are blessed. Because God never sends you empty-handed. 1 minute you pray, you get blessed. 5 minutes you pray, you get extra blessed. 1 hour you pray, you get more blessed. That is why people who are, really strong are being blessed, because they spend time, hours and hours in prayer. So the more, it's a simple mathematics. Right? The little you give, little you get. More you give, more you get. Right? So remember that when you feel lazy to pray, remember that God is always waiting. Whether it's a 1 minute prayer or a 1 hour prayer, God is blessing you. Okay, so do not listen to the evil one at any time. Then, so God is revealing his mysteries to us, and especially what mystery? The incarnation of Jesus. He's revealing that to us, and the proof of it is in Romans 16:25. And Ephesians 3:3. Go back home, check on this, and you will find the revelations. The word revelation is a historic word, and that is where he compares this revelation to that revelation. So that this is not the first time the revelation has been taken, but people in different walks of life have got revelations. God has given them revelations, and these are some of the examples of it. Now, it is specially used of the revelation of the power and the holiness of God, which is to come in the last days. The power and the holiness of God, which is to come on the last days. That is specially used for that. Now, there will be an unveiling of judgment. That means you will know that there will be judgment. God always talks about judgment. And that will be unveiled. Now, who says that? Romans 2:5 tells you about unveiling of judgment. Now, the unveiling of judgment is a terror for whom? For you? It should not be a terror for you.
Yes.
Unveiling of judgment should be a terror for those who are... Now see, when the great judges come, who would be afraid? Those who have not lived right. Those who have not believed in Jesus. Those who have not listened to Jesus. But those of us who have believed in Jesus will be afraid of that judgment day. In fact, we'll be looking for it. Like, come on, Jesus, our time has come, right? So we'll be looking for it.
Rejoice.
So to rejoice. So it is an unveiling of judgment for those who are not in this thing. But for a Christian, it is an unveiling of praise and glory. On that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess.
Amen.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Muslims, Hindus, this thing, we will all bow at the of Jesus. That's the day.
Amen.
The judgment day. And we of us who believe in him will be, you know, once I said, like, you know, we were discussing, and how will the judgment come? Stare straight, stare, blink once, that's it. That's judgment. You will not have any time. One blink and you are from life to eternity. One blink. That's the time it will take for judgment to come. And for God to be there, he will descend on the throne. And then all of us, like, no, it's a victory call for all those who have this thing. So, and it's a terror. You know, where will these people go? ISIS, what they will do? I don't know. You know, so that's it. So that's this thing. And then, have I given you this thing? Now see, it will be an unveiling of praise and glory. Now, 1 Peter 1:7 gives you the proof for that. Unveiling of praise and glory. 1 Peter 1:7. Unveiling of grace. 1 Peter 1:13. Grace you'll find. 1 Peter 1:13. Unveiling of joy. Unveiling of joy, 1 Peter 4:13. See, unveiling. unveiling, first of all, of judgment for those who are afraid, unveiling of praise and glory for us, grace for us, joy for us. So that day is something that we should desire and long for. So far, so good? Okay? You want to say anything?
No.
No, any questions so far? Now, we should also remember very, very much that this revelation is connected specially with the work of the Holy Spirit. This revelation is connected with the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing does. Nothing happens. Where do we have the proof for this? Ephesians 1:17. Ephesians 1:17. Now the Holy Spirit is the powerhouse, is what is... It is connected with revelation, the Holy Spirit.
So there is no imagination.
There's no imagination.
Yes, at all.
That's why the evil spirit, what will say? You know, he'll put you doubts. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? That is why. Who knows? I know what is truth? No. But the Holy Spirit will tell you what is the truth. Finish. Now in this, God has revealed everything to us, you know, and here he does it through Jesus. Now what did Jesus say in John 4:14-9? Jesus says that when somebody asked him, one of his apostles, who is the Father? What did he say?
If you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
So Jesus has revealed. Jesus, once again, revelation. Jesus has revealed who the Father is. Which other religions are still struggling to know. They say, Father is this, that. Muslims say, we cannot. He's unapproachable. Yeah, they don't call him Abba. They didn't call him the Father because he's unapproachable. He's a God who does according to his own will.
Quran is revelation.
We'll come to that later on. Otherwise, this revelation will lose its meaning. Yeah. Jesus has told us, even we, if we read the Old Testament, we are also under the impression that, you know, God is an angry God, God is this, God is that. No, anybody would feel that. But Jesus comes and tells us who God is. And that is why today we can relate to the Father as a Father. Jesus himself has given us the authority. Come to him. When you pray, what does he say? You go to your room, close the room and pray so that your Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, will hear you and listen to you and will bless you. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Today we have not yet come to that distinct, but we know for sure, every time we read this book of Revelation, how long it will take us, remember one thing, that we are blessed. With the promise of, written promise. We'll come to that later. Okay? So in John 14:9, Jesus tells that those who have seen the Father, me has seen the Father. Now, the means of God's revelation, how God reveals. Anything?
Then I wanted to ask,
yeah.
From the Old Testament, like you said, God, and it is there that God was a punishing God, and the transition for the change to become from punishment to forgiveness, like, where was that change happening? If it's not related in this way, then we can.
Yeah, what I would just offhand say, you know, one thing is what, see, God had, before the earth could be actually existed, God had his own plans. He knew everything. He did everything. He had everything in place. When he would reveal himself, when he would do this, when he would do that, it's all according to God's plan. Now, why did it take how many years? You know, I think 6,000 years for Jesus to actually send. Why couldn't Jesus come a bit earlier? You understand? These are the things that only God knows. For his own way he has done.
Nineveh, he sends, no?
What is that?
That is the first time he will experience.
mercy.
Tell.
He's asking the transition.
But he's asking why. You know, why?
He's asking when is the transition? Where does it occur?
Yeah, and why? Like,
no, and why? The main question is why.
You know, more of a
punishing
God.
Yeah, it is like
what
how
made them,
that you will never know how to judge God or in His wisdom. But as you parents, you will first try to train your child, whatever it is. Sanko vice versa. Tell him nicely. Don't understand, whack him. If that as the child goes big, can't whack him, tell nicely.
Now see how easy we take lies. Well, look at Safira and Ananias.
No,
they just told one lie, and what death? What lie it was? They sold the property, and they said we are giving you the whole thing, but in fact they have kept part of them. Now we say like you know. What a small
lie. Initially, I was thinking it is not justice, you know. It is how wrong it is, I was thinking. Now I know what it is not wrong. I said, how wrong God is, I was thinking. You know, why? It is their property they kept. It is not that, you know. You could keep, but you should have told.
Yes.
It is a lie. That is
it is a lie.
Initially, I was thinking, why?
Even that is a lie.
Yeah.
God is a forgiving God. He can. Now, the Lord acts how you think the prophets are. How you think God acts. Even when I bless you, He blesses. Right? It's upon this person who contains the Spirit of the Lord. He only has to, like, He just, the people of God, the apostles, they just commanded in the name of the Lord, in the wisdom, whatever, like, the Lord acted. That's given to you. A gift is already given. You just have to do it, you know. That He could see the Spirit being so angry, that's how I conceive. That's how I conceive. Because God is such a merciful God, looking at even to the last person, I understand all that. He has come, He could even have told, okay, you can do. But it's about this person, Peter, who said it and it was done.
Yeah, my sister, Peter takes place after Jesus comes, no? Peter takes place, this incident takes place after Jesus comes.
No, now the Spirit of the Lord is with them.
The question is before Jesus came.
No,
what is the problem?
He is talking about Ananias and Sapphira.
Ananias and Sapphira.
He's talking about them. Why they died like that suddenly, you know?
Because of the gate,
Peter said, okay, I've got nothing. But in that name, they commanded. They just commanded. So in that commandment, you can also claim you just fall flat and go back.
Now, if they had not given anything, would be okay. They would still be living. They are no choice. But they said, Baba, this is what we got, and I'm giving you this much. The lie is a very important thing, and which the Holy Spirit. And he said, we have grieved the Holy Spirit. So every lie we say, you know, we should be careful. We grieve the Holy Spirit. According to this, in the Old Testament, like you know, there was an instance when two wrong people were holding the Ark of the Covenant. They were not supposed to be holding it. Mm. They were killed. They died. You know, so like now. Yeah, they have to move. One person after a war, Achan or somebody, Achan, he hid some gold, this thing, on loot, you know. And when God had said no loot has to be taken by y'all, everything has to be given out to this thing. And he is one guy who kept it hidden. One person, and they lost that war. The next war they lost. And then Moses said, "What? Like, no, why? What is this?" He's saying, "Look at that person, what he has done." And he was saying, so God is, you know, one thing is good. This question is a very good question because we should not take advantage of God's mercy. He's still that God. That is why on the last day He will come not to for this thing, but He is a righteous God. Because for Him all are His children. So you cannot be doing differences between each other. You are hurting somebody and He will keep quiet? No, He will not keep quiet. That he's a judge, but then His mercy is, that is why now after Jesus comes we have got that, and because Jesus paid the price, now God the Father is looking at us through the blood of Jesus. Yeah, we are justified by Jesus. Jesus said, Father, I've paid the price, and He tells the devil, I've paid the price. So he no longer accuses us. But if you understand this fact, that He no longer accuses us of our sinfulness, we will not sin. The very fact that we do not understand this truth, that God has set us free, we are free people, we go to sin. Because once you know, that person has done so much, and he's telling me, I'm so much guilty of sin, and he's saying, Neville, you are sinless. that should mesmerize you. And that should say, my God, who is this God? Can I ever sin against a person who tells me I'm sin, who after knowing I'm sinning, says I'm sinless? How can you do that? So we have to come to that realization. Now when we take Jesus for granted, okay, he died on the cross, he left this thing, and we don't understand the meaning of it, the enormity of it, then we will still linger into sin. And one thing so good it is, you know, everybody is prone to sin till the end of his death. Everybody is prone to sin until the end of his death. But his grace is what we should ask. And, you know, it is not easy in the beginning, because temptation comes so much to us, and especially when we are so much used to that temptation, we fall immediately. But then God sees every struggle in a person. That struggle is it. So every time we even take once half a step, God's mercy comes down. He gives you the blessing. So next time you'll find, see, this time half a step I took. Next time you get a temptation, you'll take one step. And that's the way God brings you, step by step, step by step. In that moment you'll fall. But Jesus said, come up, get up. Jesus also fell. You know, but the moment you give up, you are finished. And the devil is opposite. He said, what are you? You are claiming to say, just this morning you receive communion. What are you doing today? He's an accuser. But Jesus says, nothing. I have paid the price. Nobody can be convicted of an offense twice. Only once. And we are, the price for us is paid. But the salvation belongs to each one of us. We are in charge. If we say, no, I don't want that garment of righteousness. I don't want to go into heaven. I'm saying that. You are saying that. We don't want it. Jesus' salvation is open for all. But we are saying, no, I would prefer, they said that light has come, but men still prefer to live in darkness. Is this what he's saying? After knowing the truth, we don't want to change. We want to be in the same thing. And then attacks come, and we are so used to devil attacks that we prefer the devil attacks than God's freedom. How many times you find people just moaning, I'm always sick, I'm always this, I'm always that. Please pray for me. Please pray. Some people always say, please pray for me. Please pray for me. What? For what? Do you require prayers? When you have a communication with God, when you have a relationship with God, do you require anybody else's prayers? That is actually insulting God. Where are you? Where are you? Wherever you are, God is there. How halfway you're here, he is spiritually good. That's why we ask him to pray. No. That's wrong. You are, wherever you are, God's eye is on you. In fact, you can say better eyes are on you, because God leaves that 199 sheep and goes for that one person. If you feel you are bad, God's love is more on you. Remember that. So don't have an excuse of saying, God doesn't know me, doesn't understand me, doesn't just say, pray for me. No. You pray and you will get answered. People, yes, of course, have to support. That's a different thing. But you pray first and you see. How do we see if we go? Now, everybody, sometimes you find people who are so used to this. No? Brother, what, or sister, what message have you got for me? This is not a Jadu Mantra thing, that what message you have got for me. Some people do get a revelation. That's a different question altogether. But some people are so much in the this thing of saying, brother, I'm getting so-and-so, I'm in so-and-so problem. No? See, what message you got? Just pray and see what message. Why do you want me to pray for you and get a message? Why can't you pray and ask the Lord for your message? You understand? So what are you trying to say? You have got no capabilities, or God has not given you the capabilities? No. You don't want to spend time in prayer. You want it on a platter. And you will never get Christianity on a platter. Because Jesus had to give his life. He died for us. So how can we get it on a platter? That is why sometimes we say some sickness all comes from the devil. We know that. But sometimes God allows us to fall sick. Sometimes God wants that pain to save somebody else. You know, that is why we always say, Lord, whenever you have a pain in your body and you don't know why it is happening, any other thing, say, Lord, I unite my pain to your sufferings on the cross. So even if the devil is afflicting you with pain, because the pain comes from him, but when you unite it to the Lord, what happens? He is defeated. Sometimes you say, oh my God, I don't know where is God. I'm paining, I'm in agony. If you say that means you are being sucked by the devil more and more. But in spite of your pain, now see, even when you do that without knowledge, it's a different thing. But sometimes when you know that this is what is your victory power, do it. Like if there's a pain, you don't know what's happening, you are good, you are a good person, you are praying to God, and God has still allowed that pain to come to you, give it to the Lord. So Lord, I offer this pain unto your cross, unto your pain, so that God will use that pain for somebody else's suffering. There are people in the world who are so feeble, and they cannot bear pain. So God sometimes wants us, we who are a bit strong, to bear for those people. How great is that pleasure that you know that God is using your pain to make somebody painless? That is a blessing. That is a blessing. But unless you, until you understand this, it will be a pain. It will just be a pain. So these are all the blessings that God gives in forms that we don't even understand. That is why this is called revelation. God reveals to you. Yeah? And in that revelation, there was this priest who came here. Father?
Matthew.
Okay.
Potter.
Yes, Matthew.
Father Matthew. He said, you know, take an example. You are praying for a cancer patient. Okay? This thing. Now, when you pray for one cancer patient, my sister-in-law is an ex-cancer patient. Suppose I pray for this girl, Yuri. So what I'm doing is, when I'm praying for this prayer, the devil's hands are moving off from her. Yeah, because every prayer, this thing. And then, okay, then after, how long can I pray? I will not be able to pray continuously. No, I'll just, so when I'm not praying, or sometimes I forget to pray about her, she's again attacking her. I'm just giving you a visuality, okay? Now what Father says, when you pray, first of all, ask the Holy Spirit to fill that patient with the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Fill Yuri, Lord. Fill Yuri with the power. Take away the sickness in Jesus' mighty name. And then say, with Yuri, as my sister-in-law, as a contact, I pray for 100,000 cancer patients in the world. I pray for 100,000 cancer patients in the world, is what he says. What happens? Now, devil is concentrating only on one person, Yuri, now. Right? When you pray for 100,000, he is not an omnipotent like God is. He has got his limited resources. So where is he going to run? He's going to first of all leave this place, go to somebody else, and people get healed. Because his power is lost. When he told us about it, and I went to reflect it about it, I said, how true it is. And I'm just giving you as a sickness. That suppose there is an alcoholic, do the same thing. Pray for that alcoholic, take command over him with his particular name, and then as a point of contact, pray for 100,000. You can start with 50,000, 100,000, 200,000, that is up to you. As the God reveals to you, and not one day prayer. This should be a constant struggle. And then you will see, building as you do it, you will see the power rising in you. God will reveal to you, God will show you that how the devil is being defeated. And you will find, one day when you go to heaven, he'll show you with that power of prayer how many people have been saved. It's a challenge. Any youth are there who are struggling? Start praying like this. Start praying. And this is, as I said, this is not a one-day prayer. This is, you must continuously, whenever you think, pray one, two, three, four times a day. Pray. Within a month, you will find, God will give you that revelation. God will give you the news that certain people are set free. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He will not keep you in darkness. He will show you. He will reward you. That, see, you have prayed. See, say this.
Take the scriptures. When God is with us, who can be against us? The one who is in me is greater and mightier than the world, one in the world. So if devil is trying, or the enemy, whoever is trying to threaten you by hurting your own, child, and putting that child in trouble or whatever, because that he cannot attack you, he might attack the weak ones around you, and threaten you, and you will get sick. So what you do is, if he is one challenging you, you challenge him with the words, when God is with me, like Archangel Michael said, who is like our God? Yes, the Archangel Gabriel said that. When God is with us, who can be against us? Lucifer lost that war in heaven itself. Then the one who is in me is so great and mighty than the one in the world. By the authority given to us as his children, I pray for all. The mercy of God is greater than our sins. So we pray, he's challenging, hurting one, you hit the others who he's trying to hold. So who is a loser? You, a mere child of God, is a victorious person than he who's trying to hold one. You have to attack all the others. He will have no power over.
We're exhausted our time. Don't think that this is a deviation from that. This is a revelation which God has given us through this priest. Use it, brothers. I'm telling you, and sisters, take the victory. Yes, it is. Here we are, Lord. Thanking you for your mercies, your love, for teaching us, Lord, what you have taught us today. Sweet Holy Spirit, you are an awesome God, Lord. You have taught us, Lord, now teach us to implement what you have taught in our lives. To take victory, O Lord, over our lives and over the lives of others that you have entrusted unto us, Lord. For life and death is in our hands and the power of our tongue, Lord God. And Lord, help us to exercise this, Lord God. As Lord God, give us also the grace to go back home and during this week, Lord God, to meditate on the scriptures that you have given us as references, Lord. Show us the connection, O Lord, between the revelation that we are learning now and the revelation that has been taken place in history, Lord God, so that we will understand, Lord God, that you are a God who has continuity, Lord God, in our lives, and we will be able to face the future in a more formidable way, Lord God. Lord, once again, we thank you for our team who is going out to the hospital, Lord, to visit the patients, Lord. Once again, Lord God, with this new armor in hand, Lord God, they are going there, O Lord, proclaiming, O God, not only for these patients, Lord God, but for the patients throughout the world, Lord God, that everyone will move out, O God, by the power that you have given each one of us, Lord God, to exercise over the authority of the evil one, Lord God. And Lord, signs and wonders are taking place and will definitely take place more and more, Lord God, as your love, as your mercy falls upon your children, Lord God. And for those of us, Lord, who are leaving this place, Lord God, who are going home, bless our vehicles, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. Help us to give us a new zeal for life, Lord God. Let our lives never be the same again, Lord God. So, and give us the grace, Lord, to persist in every area, especially our weaknesses, Lord God, because you are a God who is a victorious God, Lord God. And Lord, we depend on you for everything that we have, Lord. Mother Mary, continue to be with us, pray for us, guide us, bless us, and keep us under your mantle of blue now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever. Jesus is Lord.
The revealer of all good things, Lord. Jesus, you are the only way, the truth, and the light. And we, children of God, agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him, Lord. Next Friday is first Friday, so we will not have. We'll meet after 2 weeks. In that time, just meditate, learn more, and you won't regret it. Yeah.